Eric Gidgimel. We're going to start from Lamanat Seach over here. Lamanat Seach, once again, the conductor, the person in charge. And these are what we dubbed. It's the Song of Dovin HaMelech. He says, again, this whole Tehillim is going to be about HaKadosh Baruch Hu not forgetting him or hiding his face from him, staying away from him. So listen to what it says. On Hashem Tishkrei Minatzah. How long are you going to forget me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It seems like it's going to be forever. And on Hatzir Panecha Mimeni. How long are you going to hide your face from me? Hide your face and not let me see it. Now, here's the shot over here. Dovin HaMelech suffered quite a bit during his lifetime. There's a kasha when he wrote this to Tehillim. It seems to be that he wrote it when he was running away from Shaul HaMelech. At that point, when he was suffering all the persecutions and everything that Shaul HaMelech was doing against him, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how long is this going to be for? You made me king. You didn't have to make me king. Right? But instead, you made me king. And now you have Shaul HaMelech running after me, my own father-in-law running after me. How long is this going to be? Right? So that's that. Now, the four things that we're going to mention over here, Ad-Ana, 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 and Ad-Ana, in Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel, the four Ad-Anas are the four persecutions. Number one, he had to run away in the wilderness, all the way in the wilderness where nobody would find him. That's number one. Number two, spiritually and intellectually, he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. He couldn't learn because he was always worried. Intellectually, he wasn't able to be by his Rebbeim, right, because he was running around in the middle of nowhere. Okay, so number three, he didn't have proper food and water. That's why he was begging Nebo HaKarmeli to have a little bit of food, etc. And number four, he felt like something was wrong with himself. He felt like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was against them. There was more of an emotional distress, we'll call it, right? More than anything else. And those are the four Ad-Anas over here. Others say this is not referring to Shaul HaMelech, but rather when he had to flee Eretz Yisrael. Well, the truth is that it could have been Shaul HaMelech. It might have been Avshalom, but it could have been Shaul HaMelech as well. Regardless, this could be as well referring to, obviously, when you talk about four things that you're complaining about. What do you think the four things are? It's always Arba, Galios, exiles, right? That's what everybody quotes down. So obviously, it could be referring to that, regardless, right? That he was talking about something in the future, not something else entirely. Don't worry, if it falls, we'll pick it up. Here we go, Pasuk Gimel. I don't know if she's Eitzos, but actually, how long will I take Eitzos for my own self, Yagam Bavavi Yomam, when my heart is filled with sorrow every single day? Under your room, my Vialoi, how long are my enemies going to go up against me and lift up their hands against me? I feel like I don't have any supervision. I don't have any shmira, and that's the problem. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bracha, and although we don't do it in Chutz La'aretz, we do it in Eretz Yisrael. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May God bless you, and may God give you a shmira. See, it's one thing to get a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's another thing for God to guard you, to make sure that you don't lose the bracha. That's an amazing point of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. It's something that we don't even think about. But Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, that's the idea behind it. And the second thing is that really, he was so bothered by the fact that he couldn't learn, he couldn't deal with it whatsoever. That's a problem in how he couldn't deal with such a thing. Okay, that is that. Habita Anini Hashem Elokai. Look and answer me, Hashem, my God. Ha'ira Inai, lighten my eyes, give light to my eyes, Peni Shalom Abbas, lest I sleep the sleep of death. In other words, lest I, perhaps I'm going to end up being found in a place where I can't do anything. Now, this is not just a reference to death, which obviously is terrible and horrible and won't end. But he's a reference to that I go into Golos and I forget who you are. At some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I keep being thrown away from you and I don't feel like I'm close or connected to you, I'm just going to forget about you forever. There's nothing else that I can do, right? How many people feel like there's no connection? They grow up davening, they grow up in yeshivas and whatever it is, but they have no concept of what or who God is, right? And that's what he's really saying. If you keep pushing me away as if I'm the nobody because you expect more out of me, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know if I'm going to be able to relationship. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. There's a mushel over here. An old man had an only daughter before his death. He appointed one of his closest friends as her guardian and said to him, listen, I want you to give her a ton of money, but I only want you to give her a ton of money when she gets married. Until she gets married, don't give her any money. Don't give her any of my money. So the old man dies, right? His daughter, whatever, is left an orphan, and she has no money. So the guardian says, listen, I want to give you this money, but I can't until you get married, so go work for a little bit, you'll get married, and then eventually I'll be able to give you the money. The girl can't find any work. She was a pampered little girl, you know, and she couldn't find any work anywhere. She started to starve. So they came to the family came to this guy and said, you have a ton of money for her, just give her the money. He said, I can't. I promised him I wouldn't give until she ended up getting married. So they waited a little bit longer, and then she got sick. She was so sick, she was on her deathbed. They said, okay, at least get her money to get doctors so she could be healed, so she can come back. And he said, I can't. I got to wait until she gets married. To which they said, there's not going to be a marriage if you keep doing this. She's going to die. And that's how we, so to speak, look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, well, what do you want me to do? Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you all the good stuff when Mashiach comes. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to survive until Mashiach comes at this point. You've got to give it to us now, because otherwise we're not going to make it until that point. We're not going to make it to the chuppah if you just keep pushing it off like this. Pasuk Hey, Pen Yomar Ivi Yachol Tiv. So I don't want my enemy to say that I have overtaken him. Sorry, Yagilu Biyamot. All my enemies are going to rejoice when I collapse, when I go down. But rather, I trust in your chassid. My heart rejoices at your salvation. I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he has dealt well with me and has given me back anything that I have. It's obviously strong trust that David HaMelech has. Unfortunately, there aren't that many people that have it. And David HaMelech was like almost like a double entendre with this whole tilum. Number one, if the person is able to have enough bitachon that he's able to make it through, Baruch Hashem, let that guy live and everything should be all good. But if the guy is not able to make it, if this guy is not, does not have the ability to be able to make it all the way through, right, then please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give him the gifts now. Help him now before he becomes lost. That's the idea behind it. And that's the end of Perek Yud Gimel. All right, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Here we go. Lamentekli David Amarov Belibo. The fool has said in his heart, Ein Elohim, that there is no God. Hishchisu, Hisivu Alila, Ein Asei Tov. They destroy, they do abominable things, that's Toleva. Alila, they have plots, Ein Asei Tov, and they don't do anything good whatsoever. These are people, this novel over here, this Nivel is a guy who denies Hashkacha Pratis. He says, he's the classic guy who says, but the Rambam says there's no Hashkacha Pratis for individuals, so you can do whatever you want, and it's only for Klal Yisrael. That guy is a Nivel, and the only reason why he's saying that is because he wants to do what he wants without reprisal, without having the fear of reprisal. That's the only reason. And therefore, do not get involved with such a guy. Don't involve yourself, don't move anywhere near that guy, don't get to, that's bad. Even if one person does evil, even if one person does evil, that brings the scales of justice a little bit further down in the world, and unfortunately bad things happen. That's the reason why you can't allow something like this to happen. Now, stop. Aside from that, David Mel is also referring to the famous Nevel HaKarmeli. Nevel HaKarmeli was married to Abigail, who in the end was one of David Mel's wives. Remember, Nevel HaKarmeli allowed his sheep to be taken care of by David when David was an outlaw by Shaul HaMelech. And when David Mel said, listen, you're shearing your sheep, you're having a party, can we come to your party? Have a little bit of food and drink because we took care of your sheep for so long. Nevel HaKarmeli said, what? Feed an outlaw? I'm not feeding an outlaw. You know, you're a crazy man. I'm not going anywhere near you. To that, David Mel says, do you not realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that you were willing to let me be protected, and all of a sudden when I ask for something, you're trying to throw it back in my face? David Mel said, that's not the way people do things. If you wanted to tell me in the beginning, don't take care of my sheep, you're an outlaw, I totally understand you. Fine. If you think that I'm Morid B'Malchus, you think I'm Morid B'Malchus. But you didn't do that until after you got what you needed. Well, that's a bad move. That's a terrible move. And that's what he's saying. You think there's no God? You think there's no God that's going to take care of you for that? Now look at Pasuk Beis. Hashem Yishmayim Hishkif al-Bnei Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the heavens looks down on people. The word Hishkif is used. Not raw. Not Nistakil. The word Hashkifa. That word appears in the Chumash in Parshas Kisavo. Hashkifa mima'on kadshecha. To look down from the holy abode in the heavens. It's looking down with a certain eye to be able to find all the good and ignore the bad. Right? That's the idea of Hishkif. Hishkif al-Bnei Adam. Leo say Yesh Maskil Doris Elokim. He's looking for the good. Is there a wise man, Maskil, from the word Seichel, Doris Elokim, who truly searches for God? It's amazing, by the way. The Maskilim, which were the enlightened Jews, the people that were really reformed Jews and didn't believe in anything, took on the name Maskil for themselves. They allowed themselves to be called Maskilim, but Maskil is literally the exact opposite of what it's supposed to mean. The word Maskil over here... I'll see you soon. But the word Maskil over here, right, really refers to... And Benji, I expect you to listen to this online later on today. It's on the Navi part, okay? RabbiTzvi.com.
I'm all about push reports. I need to go out and search for it.
This will be fun. Ayesh Maskil. So that's the problem. The problem is that they're using the word Maskil in the exact opposite direction of where it's supposed to be. Maskil is somebody who uses their seichel to be Doresh Eselokim. They're using the word Maskil to stay away from God. It's literally the exact opposite translation of where it goes. We can talk about all these terms, Haredi versus Tzioni, where those words came from based on the Navi. It's amazing because it's literally used in the opposite direction of where they want to go. Don't even start with where the word Haredi really is used in the Navi. It's the exact opposite of what it should mean for Hasidim. Literally the exact opposite. I think that's why somebody who was Zionistic really came up with it. It's a really crazy term. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Is it something like Dalek
Hatzkos? Dalek Hatzkos for Maskil? Or, no, I don't think they deserve Dalek Hatzkos. It depends on where they are, but probably not. No. Yeah, they're pretty much in that level. I mean, the people that are really masculine, unfortunately. But no, I think that somebody probably made it thinking like, oh, they're really thinking to themselves, and that's why they use the word masculine. Yeah, I would assume. Because the word Moscow does mean enlightened. But, on the other hand, it's clear that Moscow is somebody who's Dorish HaSolokim. Pasuk Gimel. Hakol Sor. Everything is turned away. The word Sor also means to rot. Yachdov Ne'alachu. Together, like all these, you know, these people get together, like each guy on each side, and they say, like, no, I don't believe in God. No, I don't believe in God more, etc. Ne'alachu. And because of that, they become foul. Eino Zetov. No one does any good. Ein Gamachod. Not even one. Because each one of them is trying to outdo the other when it comes to bad. They have told that there is a certain yeshiva. I don't know if you want to call it yeshiva, a rehab place in that was in Eretz Yisrael, no longer exists, in which they had a challenge. Who could do the worst chait on Yom Kippur? Right? That is literally the definition of yachdov ne'alachu. I'm not going to say which one the worst was. I guess that depends on how you look at it, but trust me, it wasn't that they didn't go to shul on Yom Kippur. Halo yadu kol pa'al le'aven. Don't they know all of those who do sins? Och le'am yachul lechem, who consume my nation like one would consume bread. Hashem lo karo. They don't call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? All these people, do they not realize these people over here? And the idea is like this. The enemies of the Jewish people have always found themselves to be successful, so therefore they think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on their side, pushing them in the back, saying, yeah, this is the right thing to do. Don't they realize, they're saying, what they're really doing? Pasuk, they were all in great fear because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in that generation of the righteous, taking care of the righteous from behind. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus are good examples of what that means. Nebuchadnezzar was punished horribly once he had done what he had done to the base of Mikdash, and Titus as well. Titus, we all know, because that's the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Nun Bavim Beis Nun Zayin and Aleph, when he had the gnat that went into his head, right, ate his brain, and eventually took over his entire body, right? That's disgusting, but that's what parasites do. You can see these, you know, in regular videos of like actual animals, in which a guy once killed a spider and a little worm came out from the spider, but I don't mean little. It was huge and it just kept coming out. Now it was a big spider, but the worm just kept coming and coming. What had happened? The worm, this parasite, got into the spider system, took over the spider. The spider died. It ate all the spider, but it used the spider as its own body. As a body that it could move around with. It's the coolest thing in the world, but there are parasites that do that. That's how I think of a vertidus. That's how it would be. Nebuchadnezzar, right, on the other hand, he had 7 years in which he was lost in a forest and was like an animal. Evel Merodach, which was his son, took over for those 7 years, and in the end, Nebuchadnezzar got so mad at Evel Merodach that he had gone through. Evel Merodach is the one in Rosh Hashanah who had a dog as a queen, right, according to one parish of the Gemara, one of the three Pshatim. Right, but Nebuchadnezzar, right, was one of those guys. He turned into an animal for 7 years. You couldn't even recognize him, right? He just lost everything. That's what Daniel told him about. Daniel pushed it off for a year in Daniel, but it's amazing. That's what kind of, they got. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Didn't you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there? Atzas Ani Savishu Ki Hashem Achseyu. You're shaming the Atzas Ani, not really the advice, but really what the Ani needs to be successful, Ki Hashem Achseyu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him. You're ridiculing, you're humiliating Bnei Yisrael for trusting in God, not realizing that they are seeking their refuge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them, and Hashem will. It's just not there yet. That's the idea behind it. This also applies midrashically to a person who goes around and asks for just a few pennies. The guy who's going around, right, in the morning is not looking for $100. If he gets $100, he's not going to be sorry, right? But he's only looking for a dollar. So the people who can't bear to give him that dollar, I'm not saying they're bad people, maybe they don't have a dollar on them, right? But if you're saying to yourself, no, I'm not giving him a dollar, what are you going to do with that dollar? You're going to buy Coke? Like, can you forego one Coke for that guy? Again, I'm not saying when there's 150 poor people, and I'm not blaming anybody, because sometimes I need that dollar for something else, and I know I need the dollar later on the day, and there are times where definitely I go through my day and I'm like, if I only had that dollar, and I know that's a sub, and I already realized that. Regardless, you think about it, Ani just needs one little thing, no, and you're embarrassing him by not giving. Yeah, exactly. But either way. Pasuk Zion, me Tamei Tzion and Yeshua Sitzur, who will give from Tzion, referring to Yerushalayim, the salvation of Bnei Yisrael B'Shuv and Yeshua Samo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns the people of his nation, Yagel Yachmi Yismach Yisrael, there will be Gila and there will be Simcha. Notice, Yagel is used by Yaakov, Simcha is used by Yisrael. Typically speaking, the line of Gila, this is a rehearsed phrase, Gila versus Simcha is a different type of Simcha. Simcha is an altogether, you feel it throughout your whole body. Gila is an outward showing of Simcha, but you're not able to fully get it within. So Gila is outward, Simcha is inward. That's the idea. So Yogil Yaakov. Yaakov is somebody who on the inside is just not there yet. He can do Gila. He can show you on the outside how great he is. But Yisrael, that takes Simcha. That's a higher level of Simcha that's able to be there. That's in Pasuk Zion. That's the concept there. Yeah.
Mesh with the actual personalities of Yaakov and Yisrael, like who Yaakov was when he was Yaakov and who he was when he was Yisrael.
So there's a famous Orachaim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayigash. It's also said in Parshas Mikas, but it's really in Parshas Vayigash, in which he goes through every mention of Yaakov and Yisrael, and he mentions how it splits up. But the problem is that even when it splits up, there are five or six places where the word Yaakov and Yisrael are used right next to each other. So it's difficult to explain. He likes to say, like what you're saying right now, that Yaakov is when he was inwardly sad, and Yisrael was when he was outwardly happy. But there are psukim that go against it, like in Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Aleph, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov in a maros laila, in a vision of the night. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Yisrael, Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. It's the weirdest thing in the world. What does that mean? But how does he call him Yaakov when he's really... he's speaking to Yisrael, and Hashem already changed his name. So what happens there? There's a lot of interesting words that go behind it, but either way, regardless. Parak as well. Between Yaakov and Yisrael, but you could say that that's when he's feeling down. Like when Yosef is gone, he's always known as Yaakov, right? There are only two times when Yosef is gone when he's called Yisrael, and both are where good things are happening at that moment. Interesting little lines. That's because of Haftorah and Parshas Tov. Check out the Haftorah, because there has to be 13 letters to the Avos' names, and it says Gadol Shemecha. I forgot the wording over there, but Nisur Darchem Yashem, Nisur Darchem Yashem, something or other. No, that's a bother. If you can find it, do you have it?
1428.
Nisra Dafim Hashem, something, whatever it is. But Hashem is 26. 13 letters of the Imahos. Rachel, Leah, Rivka, and Sarah is 13 letters, and the Avos also have to be. So Abraham is 5. Yitzchak is 4. Yaakov has to be 4, because if it's Yisrael, then it's 14, not 13. What do you have it over here?
It's here and goes to. Hold on, I'll find it here.
This is Malachi? No, it's not Malachi.
It says in Perek Hodos.
Maybe it's Lech Lecha. No, it's at the very, very beginning. Wait, but this is... No, hold on. Let's see if it's Lech Lecha. We have it right over here. Lech Lecha.
Here.
No, that's Noach, right? Here. Lech Lecha. Shvi. Page 1022. It could still be there, and I'm just not looking for it. 1022. When did he have his name switched? It's the end of Lech Lecha, right? Ah, here we go. Lama Somer Yaakov Usadab Yisrael. Why do you say it as Yaakov Usadab Yisrael when we speak about Yisrael? So, Nisra Darkim Hashem, my ways are hidden from Hashem. That's 26. Amalekai Mishpiti Yavor, my Mishpat is taken away. So, because of 26, the letters, you need to have Yaakov in order to make 13 letters from the Avos and 13 letters from the Imos. Remember that being the pshat. I don't remember exactly, but that's around the idea. Did you save it? Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's that. Parak test both. All right, this happens to be one of my favorite tehillims. Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Yagor Ba'alecha, who Hashem will live among your tents, Mishkom HaKadoshecho, who will dwell on your holy abode. Now, what David Melech is about to do over here is he's going to tell you, I know it's difficult to do 613 mitzvos. You're not always going to be able to do all 613. In fact, nowadays, we only have 77 mitzvos aseh and 194 mitzvos lo aseh, right? Yeah, Korbanos. Korbanos take up about 285 mitzvos, right?
Even when...
Yeah, it's not the same, right? Because you're not the Mekayim. Yeah.
And the basin makes a trip here.
It's not possible for every single person.
Correct. For example, I can't even do Berachas Kohanim. Exactly. Right? Berachas Kohanim is one easy one.
You could do Shachting, but there's a certain parts the Kohen has to do. And the Kohen Gadol.
Malika, right? Obviously, Kabbalah, right? Zrika, right? Everything like that. So we are going to run into a lot of problems.
All do it.
Once you love HaKadosh, once you have Arvus, so the same way that I'm responsible for another Yid, so too I get the mitzvahs for another Yid. That's the only way that it can happen. But either way, you only have 77 mitzvahs essay, you have 194 mitzvahs lo essay, and then you have 26 mitzvahs that are totally on Eretz Yisrael. And that's it. That's all I can do nowadays. And out of those, some of them are like Birchas Kohanim, which out of those 77 I can't even do. Some of them are Yibum and Chalitza. Those are two separate mitzvahs I'm not going to do. Hopefully I'll never get to do the mitzvah of Gerushim. That's a mitzvah, but nonetheless, I hope I never do it. That's a mitzvah kiyumis. If I'm mekayim it, then I guess I get a mitzvah for it. But there's no actual, you know, kiyuvis, obviously. So hopefully, I'll never have to do that one. So Davidov was told by the people, you know, it's difficult to keep 613 mitzvahs. What am I supposed to do? So Davidov whittled them down to 11 good midos. That if you act in the following 11 ways, then it will be as if you're mekayim all 613 mitzvos. Even though you're not able to be mekayim all 613, it'll be as if you do. And the real shot behind it is not that he's replacing 613 mitzvos with 11. You can't do that, obviously. But rather, doing these 11 mitzvos will lead up to doing 613. That way they'll be able to do it. Yeah.
I heard that when you like by Kiddush, your father says Kiddush and your Yitzhak by Kiddush. The Brigos Kahan and they say the Bracha and you say, I mean, are you Yitzhak? Is it like
you? Usually not, because they don't have you in mind to give you the mitzvah. The mitzvah is just not yours. So really,
is it the Chazan?
It would not the Chazan, it would be the Kohanim. The Kohanim would have to do it.
The Chazan's coming.
Oh, and same thing. I mean, if he's trying to be motzi to people, but usually Berachas Kohanim, and they're not trying to be motzi anybody. I mean, the mitzvah, they're just trying to do it.
Be people.
Trying to be motzi with Shmona Esrei, but not with Berachas Kohanim. Berachas Kohanim is a different issue, right? So you'd have to actually do it that way. Unfortunately, it's not how it happens. So what are these things? What are these 11 things? So Holich Kamim, Poel Tzedek, Gomer Mesbovavo. So the first three are the following. Holich Kamim means walk upright. Walk as a tamim. Throughout wherever you go, act in a simple, straightforward manner. Where you're not lying, you're not tricking anybody, you're perfecting your views and perfecting your deeds. The example of this is Avraham Avinu, where everywhere he went, he was able to make gerim. It wasn't just that he had the right answer for every person. It's that people saw him and they wanted to emulate the way he walked, the way he was. He was just a cool dude who everybody wanted to be like. Well, if you had a guy like that, that's holich kamim. Poel tzedek means be a worker that is doing things in the most righteous way possible. In such a way where it's not just tam, where maybe I can look up my portfolio while I'm at work. Who says you're allowed to do that? You're a worker. While you're working, you have to be working. Who says you can take a coffee break? Who says you're allowed to do that? To act as a poel tzedek, somebody that everybody wants as their worker, that's that. The example of that is somebody named Abba Chilkiyahu, which in the Gemara Tainus around Daf Chav Gimel, right, when two people came to greet him, Talmid Chacham came to greet him, he did not stop his work even to say hello to them, because he's a poel. But I can't answer you. How am I supposed to answer? And the Dover Ames Bovavo is not only do you speak out truth from your mouth, but even in your heart, even your thoughts are absolutely truthful. The example of this is Rav Safra. Rav Safra one time was approached while he was saying Kriya Shema, and a guy came up to him and said, hey, I'll buy this for $20. Right? So Rav Safra couldn't say anything. He was in the middle of Shema. Right? But in his head, he said, okay, I'll sell it to him for $20. And the guy said, thought that he was like, oh, he wants more, huh? So he bargained up. He said, all right, 30. All right, 40. All right, 50. All right, 100. But he kept going up. Finally, Rasafar finished his Shema, right? And he turned to the guy and he's like, I already agreed to 20. So that is Dover MS Bovavo. That's a person like that. That's the idea behind it. It's an unbelievable thing like this. Rasafar once went, on a walk with a bunch of his Talmidim. And when they got to a certain area, right, they saw a certain chassid that was walking the other way. And the chassid said, oi, Rebbe, you didn't have to come greet me. Right? I didn't mean for you to come greet me. So Safra said, I didn't. I just went out for a walk. So the Talmidim said to him, you just embarrassed that guy. Where Safra said, it's better to embarrass the guy than have spoken an untruth and make him think something that was not true. That's an amazing line. Now think about that. That means he held one bit of chassidus over the other. I don't know if I would have made that decision. Maybe my chassidus is to make him think that I came out to greet him, even though to me that's a sheker. That really is a sheker. But he felt Dover MS Bovavo was so important to him, he was always going to say the absolute truth. Yeah, I would assume so.
Are you supposed to make the guy feel good?
That Rav Safra felt no. That's Dovra Emes Bovavo, perfecting that midah. Then number four, Lo Roga Lashono, Lo Asa L'Rei Ura, Becher Belo Nasal Kurovo. So here we go. Lo Roga Lashono means you do not speak Lashahara. I think that's obvious. I don't think we need to speak about that, but never speak slander about another person. Never do any evil to another person. In other words, whenever somebody needs something, don't try to exert yourself in order to do something, whatever. Instead, treat your friend the way you would want to be treated. Becher Belo Nasal Kurovo. Do not bear any reproach, right? Any degradation upon your relative. And literally, it's relative. Really, it's referring to anybody else, anybody who's close to you. Don't allow him to be embarrassed, and don't put yourself in the position to embarrass him that you don't want to be able to do. And all those, obviously, are dealing with your friend, in which you're shaming people that are around there. Nivzabein of Nimos. Anybody who is vile, a disgusting person, should be disgusting in your eyes. You should not want to hang out with that guy. If the guy is not a person who should be hung out with, even though he's the coolest dude in the world, you don't hang out with him. Do not go anywhere near that guy. That guy is not worth going anywhere near, nowhere near. So in other words, you get a, I don't know, let's just say, like, who would be somebody who would be considered Nimos, somebody disgusting? I'm sure most of these basketball players would be. So you have a night in which Kobe Bryant says, hey, Dave, you want to go hang out? Right? Nivzabeinov. Not only, Kobe, I don't even want to touch you. Maybe that.
People know, would it be fine?
I'll shake his hand. No. That's that. That's the way you do it, right? Yeah.
Let's say this guy, you're able to turn him around. Just hanging out with him.
Yeah, good luck. That's
it. Not Kobe Bryant.
Be truthful to yourself. You're really going to turn around? You're really going to have a good time? And at the same time, like, maybe I influenced them a little bit. Who's going to be more influential here? What's up? Yeah. Now, please. That's Yirei Hashem Yechaved, and those who fear God, He honors. The fears of God, meaning those people who are in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who He gives honor to, Talmid HaChachamim, and people that are doing the right thing. This refers to any Jew. This does not have to be a Rav, and only a Rav. Anybody who's a Yirei Hashem, a person who is worthy of emulation, Yechaved, He gives honor to that. Nishba Lahar V'lo Yamir, He swears, right, even if it's His own evil, He will not go against it. Meaning, even if the oath that he took is something bad to him, he will never forgive that shvuah that he made. He made a shvuah. He's going to go through with it, even though it hurts him. Right? That's a person. Always keeps his words. His word. That's that. Now, the final two, right over here. Kaspo l'nosem b'nashach. He does not give his money over his bribery. V'shokran nafi l'olokas. And he does not take any, I shouldn't say bribery, I'm sorry, as ribis, as interest. And bribery for an innocent person, he does not take. Now, these two are a little bit strange because these are actual mitzvos, right? The ones before are basically midos, right? Treating people whatever it is and, you know, with the right way. I guess you could say lo rog al lashono, speaking lashon hara. But these two are definitely like, don't give your money in ribbis. The pshat is that even when a person offers you ribbis and he's willing to give you ribbis, do not take it. Do not take it. Even if it's just questionable, don't get involved in even a questionable practice. And the final thing is, I'm sorry?
Is there any cigar here too?
Well, obviously, go you're allowed to, so that wouldn't apply, right? And bribery, don't take. In other words, don't get involved in anything like that. Somebody who does any of these things altogether will never falter. He will never be moved. He won't be moved from his position, and nothing will happen bad when it comes to all this. When Rav Gamliel heard these psukim, he started crying. He said, like, how in the world is a person able to do all 11 of these? But Rav Akiva started laughing. Rav Gamliel said to Rav Akiva, why are you crying? He said, why are you laughing? I'm sorry, he said to him, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? Rav Gamliel said, what do you mean? Like, all these psukim, this is what you have to do in order to be a good person. You have to keep your mitzvahs. Like, I don't know if I can do all this. To which Rav Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing, because we know that you're chayav kares by doing one thing. You don't have to do all of the things that are mentioned in the Torah, and you're chayav kares for just one of them, right? Midah Toyva is greater than a midah ra. So for one thing, you're chayav kares, even though the pasuk seems to say you're only chayav kares if you do all of them, certainly you get olam haba with only one of these. You specialize in one of these midos, then automatically you get olam haba. That's how Rav Akiva darshaned. And Rav Gamliel said, Nichamtani Rav Akiva, you consoled me. That's the other line over here. It's amazing. That's the idea behind it. I'm sorry? Yeah, and that's
you can't take bribes.
Well, you can take bribes just from a regular person. Don't take bribes in order to do something special for a person when you know it's the wrong thing to do. It doesn't have to be a basin even. Pasuk Tazayin, yeah, that's for sure, but you don't need that. Michtam Ledavid Shemini El Kichas Yizivach. So a michtam, there's a big question about what the word michtam means. Look at the word for a second. Mach. Tom. Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. Shemini El protect me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yechaziz Vav, because I have taken refuge in you, I need you to take care of me. So, what does it mean? His mach was tum. He was born circumcised. I have no idea how the word mach refers to Mila. Maybe there's another word that I'm missing over here, but this is a Maimer Chazal. I don't know what that means. But either way, that's one thing over here. Number two, he looked at himself as mach, as lowly, and tum, a simple guy. And therefore he looked at himself as very humble. Right? And that's what he's saying, Michtam le David. I'm a humble and lowly guy. That's another way of looking at it over here. Number three, Michtam could also be Kesem Paz. It's referring to Michtam Kesem, as in a crown of gold. That he said this on his day of coronation. This was the Tehillim that he said on his coronation. He made this poetry on this day, protect me because I've taken refuge in you, and that's that. Others say this is a favorite saying of David HaMelech, and that's in Yisrael, Nichtam. This was his number one saying. You know, some people like always have that thing right off the top of their tongue, or at the tip of their tongue, right? For me, it's the water sheet board. Like, everybody has their own special thing. This idea is their this is what he stands for. Pasuk Beis. Yeah, what's up?
Nichtam used elsewhere?
I don't know, so we'd have to see if it is. Here is where he says it over here. Quotes it down from another interpretation. He does not say who it's from. So that could be over here. There's a medrash over here also. It's a really weird one. Amar l'Hashem Shemato. You say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or I have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know the word is Amart, it should be Amarti, but said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashemato, you are my Lord, my Master, Tovasi Ba'alecha, right? I have no good except upon you, L'kadosh Hashem Aratema, to the Kadosh people that are on the earth, Badir Kochav Sivam, the mighty ones, where all my desire is in them, right? All my desire is within them, and only within them, that's the that we're dealing with. Yirbuat Vosam. Many are the sorrows Acher Maharu that go after another, that go after Avodah Zarah and those that follow other gods. Ba'asik Miskemi Dom. Their offerings of blood, I am not going to libate to, I'm not going to get involved with or anything that they do. Their offerings of blood is almost like they were people that mamashechted themselves a little bit in order to, you know, to give themselves to their Avodah Zarah, to their magics and things like that. So Devin, I'm not getting involved with any of that stuff. I'm not even going to say the names of Avodah Zarah upon my lips, because I'll tell us that it is usher to mention any name of Avodah Zarah that is not mentioned in Tanakh. So meaning, if you wanted to say the name of maybe the Hindu god, I don't know if this is true or not, but the name of the Hindu god is Vishnu, right? It's one of their gods. It might be usher to be able to say that. Maybe usher to say that. Yeshu, right? That's why people hold that it is usher to say the word J-E-S-U-S. Now, I don't necessarily hold that way, because I don't think that the name was actually pronounced as a G, you know, like that anyway. It was probably Hayes, you know, in some way. But regardless, this is something that a lot of people are mapped in. Don't even mention the names of Avodah Zarah, because your words have power. And you're giving them koach by mentioning the names of the Avodah Zarah over here. Hashem and Askoki, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my portion. Mechosi, he is my cup. I tell him, Gorili, we'll get back to the cup later on, much later on in Talon. But I talk to him, Gorili, you are supporting my lot and everything that I need and everything like that over here. The Medra says, it goes like this. It's a king who traveled across the line accompanied by all his dukes and all of his ministers, right? So when they arrived in some part of the country, so all the dignitaries wanted to host one of the members of the king's party. They wanted to go for this dignitary, that dignitary. Each guy said, I will take this and then whatever. It was a wise man who said, I'm taking the king. Everybody else forgot about the king because they figured, oh, the king's not coming to me. So everybody's running around to the dukes and the ministers and all the other, you know, messengers that the king had. But everybody forgot about the king himself. So one smart man gets up and says, I'm going to do that. When it comes to the other nations, some people pay homage to the sun. Some people pay homage to the moon. Some people pay homage to the water, the sea. Some pay homage to the mountains. Everybody picks something. And, like, the Jew gets up there and is like, yeah, I'll take God. And they're like, oh, we can't get to the king. How are we supposed to connect to the king? At least we'll connect to the ocean. We'll connect to the mountains. So that's that, yeah.
It was supposed to be like, what did start out as a good thing? As a good intention?
Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, says that yes, by the times of Enosh, they all thought you give honor to the officers, then the male are giving honor to the king themselves. The problem is, as time went on, people forgot that and just gave honor to the officers, forgetting there was an officer in charge of that. That's what it ended up being. So, yes, it becomes a problem. It becomes a problem after a while. You got to remember, Noach was still around, and Shem was around, and Aver was around. So there definitely were people. Noach died when Avram was 58. That's how you remember it. Noach. Is the Gematria 58. So certainly there were people that believed in monotheism, that believed in God. The question was how many people and who, and whether or not Noah propagated his beliefs or only kept it to himself and people that came to him. But there were others that believed in God, just not the way that Avram believed in God, not the way of, what do they call it, going out to other people and... proselytizing to other people. That nobody had done before. Nobody even thought about that. Chavalim Nafluli, so there are fallen to me, Chavalim, you know, like evil things, unfortunately, but even in pleasant places, but nonetheless, I consider it really, really good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, God, I know you have to punish me sometimes. Even these Yisurin have a purpose, and not just a purpose, but something good that comes through them that I feel fulfilled because of. I feel like something good is coming out of them. That's what he's saying. Even when I fell ill, even when I got sick, I know there was a purpose. I know there's something good behind it, and that's what he's trying to say. Shafrolai, it's good to me. I think it's good. I treat it as something positive. Avrech Hashem Asher Yotzani. And therefore, I bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has given me the proper advice. Even in the nights when my wheels, my kidneys are giving me pain, even then, it was true. And I've never, I should never have it. I hope none of us have it, but I've never had kidney stones. And they say it's one of the most painful things to go through at night when a person has kidney stones and trying to go to the bathroom and he just can't go, when he has to pass the stone through that area of the body. It's almost, I'm not comparing it at all. My wife to go all crazy on me, you know, but they say it's like childbirth, okay? But we're not going with that. I don't just say it. I'm an evil person for even thinking that way. But regardless, Yisurin Chayosai is my kidneys are going through by Yisurin. Like, even then, I could have spoken, Dabin Amel said, I allowed those nights when I looked through and sat there and I had these issues, I sat there in contemplation thinking how Baruch Hashem during the rest of the year, I've never had this problem. I contemplate how everything is still good, even when bad things are happening. She's Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands opposite me all times. Kimimini Balamot. When he's on my right hand side, on the side of Chesed and Racham in Balamot, I will never falter whatsoever. Now, we know what that means. Everybody's heard this line before, that the Shekhinah is always before you in davening. In davening, you should always have a picture in front of you. There are great stories of Rebbes that are always like going like that with their hands, right? And people realized after a while, people went behind him and saw that he was writing Yudke Vavke, just with his hands on the table while he was just sitting there. No pen, no, like, you know, no paper or anything like that. Just with your little fingers, just going through like that. They say one of the highest levels is that you have such an image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your head. So you know how, like, if you stare at something, you know, for a long time, then you look up, you can see the words right there in front of you, where you have, like, a little image. Usually works with lights. You know, you see, like, a bright light, and you go somewhere else, you can see the bright light right in front of you. People have done that with Yudke Vavke, to have that name in front of them, so that everywhere they look, it's so ingrained in their soul, because they're thinking of it all the time, so they're looking at you, but they're seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in front of you. They see it on them the whole time. I'm not suggesting that you tattoo Yudke Vavke onto your eyeball. I'm not saying that. That's disgusting and terrible. But no, it's also awesome. But regardless, right, that's the idea of in a Kadosh way of being able to do it. No, don't do that. But either way, regardless, that's Shavuot Yisrael and Negdi Samin. And obviously it applies to davening as well, that a person should always consider himself. Right before he starts his Shemona Esrei, a person should look up at the sky, see the blue of the sky. When he does that, he's able to picture HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a perfect vision. That's the idea of Anapasuk. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. Once again, we notice this over here. Simcha by the lathe, Gila by the kavod, which is interesting. As we said before, Gila usually only appears on the outside, right? So how is your soul only having Gila? The soul is on the inside. How is that possible? That means that you're not fully inundated with joy enough for your soul to feel it. You have a little bit of it, but you don't have it fully. So to my flesh, Yishkon Levatach, will dwell secure. What that means is, unfortunately, we should not have rot after death. David Melech was assured he will not rot after death. They use this pasuk in Bava Basra Tav Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, Taz Zayin Amid Beis Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, say that David Melech is one of seven people who have ever existed who will never have any rot or worms in their body. Avram Yisrael Yaakov, Moshe Aaron Miriam, right, and David Melech is number seven. He's the Yesh Omrin, right, brought over here. Afisor Yishkon Levatach is the pasuk that we learn it from, that there won't be any rot whatsoever. What's up?
About the seven people that went out to Shit Shmai?
There's more. There's nine. Derek Hart, Zuta, Parak Aleph, and possibly a tenth. Rav Yishuv and Levi might be number ten. And obviously, you're not dealing with a regular physical body that went into the ground. We're talking about people that were buried and nonetheless don't have rot. But those 9/10 people, anyway, they're interesting. Six of them aren't Jewish, so it's a very hard line to be able to understand that line.
Oh, that never did embarrass?
So the four. So clearly, they still have something. You should know, rot does not come from a varus. Rot comes from the taivas, giving into your taiva. Now, that's kinas. what you're referring to is kinesthetomos, that causes the bones to wither and to decay, right? This is referring to like worms and stuff like that. Kaiva causes that. Now, that's one of the reasons for chibra kever, which is another story for another time, but regardless. Okay, pasuk yud. Shaol, you will not allow, forsake my soul to go down to the grave. Literally, Shaol is grave. Although we know that it's really referring to Olam Haba, right? You won't allow my soul to go to Gehenna. You will not allow your chassidim to see the level of shachas, which is the bottom, nethermost pit of Gehenna, the worst part of Gehenna itself. That's what it refers to when it comes to shachas itself. Again, we know there are no words that actually spell out that there is the world to come in Tanakh. It is something that we only have through Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Tzav does not speak of it. Yet here are the hints behind it. Sheol and shachas are ideas of what Gehenna are referring to. Shachas is the seventh level of all levels of Gehenna. Sheol altogether is the first level that every person is supposed to go to before they go to Gan Eden, right? They have to pass through Gehenna. That's the idea behind it. Regardless, it's there. Todieni or Chaim, Sovas Machos is Panacha. Now, this is a line that you may have heard before. Todieni or Chaim is, you should let me know the true way of life. Or Chaim, yes, that is where the Baal Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, got the word from in order to write the name Orach Chaim, the ways of life. Sovas Machos Panacha, the fullness of Simcha should be while in your presence. Ne'imos b'mincha netzach, the pleasures that are in your right hand should exist forever. And those pleasures should exist forever. They should never stop. They should not be a life of illusion. They should be a true life over here. We say this in a house of Avelos, in a Beis Avel. We say these lines, Todieni or Chaim. It's really an anticipation of what's going to be in the world to come. As we said, this is a bit of a remez. It is said over in what's it called? This is the tefillah that you say in the, what's it called, in the Avel's house. Michtam Ledavid. Yeah. No. After Shacharis and Marav Micha by Shacharis Micha, correct. Yeah, so that's one of the things that we do. We also, there are people that say it by Mariv on Motzei Shabbos. Right? Some people do it by Vihi Noam. They add this on, this line over here, Todieni or Chaim, the Sova Simcha, Samachos Espanecha. Anyway, regardless, that's the line behind it. All right, I think we're going to stop with this. Turkey design is a little long. All right, you know.
We're going to
stop with this. All right, we'll stop with this right now.